glory to God. We give you all the worship, Jesus. We give you all our worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, it's Wednesday night, isn't it? Hallelujah. Welcome to Wednesday night. We are on our mission. Hallelujah. On Wednesday nights, we're looking forward to each of us allowing God to place in our heart that desire more and more, right? That we can each be prepared and be ready to reach somebody for Jesus. Who's going to reach somebody this year? Amen. Amen. At least one, right? At least one. You know, that could be your first goal. We should have goals in life. Amen. And it's good to have a soul goal. Amen. Right now we're looking for one, but after you got one, guess what? We can get another one, can't you? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you go fishing, you catch one, you know, but that's not the last day you go fishing, right? People go fishing again, don't they? And we keep fishing and we keep sowing the seed of the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Father, we thank you for your truth tonight. We ask you to open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, and flood us with light in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, Father, for wisdom, for understanding, and that you will place into our heart the truth, Father, of your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's start out tonight over in Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start in the 14th verse there. And when we look here, we remember this is right before Jesus was going to ascend back to the Father. He had raised from the dead, and the disciples... here in the 14th verse, Jesus starts out, and once again, several times we read in the Bible, because sometimes we don't always recognize his voice. We think Jesus is that voice that says, oh, that was a great job. Good job. Way to try. But that's not really the voice of Jesus. Many times Jesus said, why is it? When they crossed the lake, remember when they were going across the lake and he said, go to the other side. And here comes Jesus and he gets into the boat and he's asleep, right, in the boat. And the big storm comes up and Jesus didn't say, well, I'm so proud of you guys for rowing so hard and for working so hard and trying so hard. No, he said, how is it that you have no faith? Sometimes the voice of God is not always what we think it is. Many times he rebuked the disciples. Again, remember when they asked him in Matthew 17, they had brought the demoniac to the disciples, and what happened? They couldn't cast out this spirit for whatever reason. They couldn't get it out. Jesus says, oh, bring him to me. How long am I going to have to suffer with you guys? Bring him here. And he gets him delivered and gets him free. And they went to Jesus privately. Now, Jesus, how come we couldn't cast this spirit out? He said, because of your unbelief. Why are you, you know, it seems like they're always struggling in believing. And here we see again in Mark 16, it said, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, or they're having a meal together. And he upbraided them. What does that mean? He rebuked them, in other words, with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, if we remember, there was those that saw him, and he's coming to the 11 here, and hey, you didn't believe them. Why? Why didn't you believe that I was raised from the dead? And he goes on and he says unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel or the good news to every creature. And he what that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned, or he'll be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But he's encouraging them. He said, go and preach. Go and preach, or go and declare the good news, right? Why? So that men may believe. All right. So tonight, I know we've been talking a lot of different things. We talked over, and remember, let's go over there for a minute here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, where we saw and we see and many times I think it's important. We want to remember tonight, I want to kind of share that it's important, of course. We talked about valuing people, haven't we? How valuable is a soul? How valuable is one person to God? How valuable are people? So valuable that God said in John 3:16 that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have what? Eternal life. And then verse 17, he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Christ, may be saved. And we see the same thing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's just start at, well, let's back up just a minute. Let's start at 14 here too. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us, or it compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know you no man after flesh. Don't be known people after the old nature anymore. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, or after his fleshly nature, not yet now, henceforth know we him no more. We don't know him that way anymore. Now we know him what? After the Spirit. After our inward man. Why? Because he has died. He was raised to life. And now we have been raised with him. We have a spirit man. Our spirit was brought from death to life. And we don't know him after that death nature anymore. We don't know him after the flesh any longer. But now we know him, what, after the Spirit. He said, don't be judging people after their fleshly nature, but realize they just need to know Jesus. He says, therefore, if we're in Christ, he's a new creature. Anyone that is in Christ, any man, becomes a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And we can all say, I have a ministry. Amen. How many here have a ministry? You have the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, you are bringing people back to God. You say, what is our message? It's important that we understand our message. Our message is not one of condemnation. It is one that Jesus paid the price for you. All is forgiven. Come to God. You can know him. Through Jesus Christ, you can know God. You can be made right with God. He paid the price for you. Yes, we are of a fallen race. Yes, we have sinned. We have all sinned what and fell short of the glory of God, but there is something through the redemption of Jesus Christ, we now have life. Amen. How many know that the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. He says, verse 19, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now see, that's an accounting term. In other words, they're not holding it against them. God is no longer holding sin against man. And he has committed unto them the word of reconciliation. In other words, be ye reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And that is our message. There is hope for all who will come to Christ. There is forgiveness for all. There is mercy, what? For all. He said, I paid the price. If we go over to 1 John, he says, he is what? The reconciler, what? Not just of us, but of the whole world. He said, I no longer impute sin to man. Sin is really, yes, sin has separated man from God. And yes, we're of a fallen nature. But really, the sin debt was paid. And our job is to help people come to the decision to say, yes, I believe that Jesus paid the price for me. He died on the cross. He was raised from death to life. And now you can have new life in Christ. He said, now then we are what? Ambassadors of Christ. And we talked about what an ambassador is. We are, our ministry is to reconcile people back to God, but we're ambassadors of a different kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's our ministry. Be reconciled to God. That's our message. Be reconciled to God. God loves you. He has a purpose for your life. He will change you. He can help you to know God. Through Jesus Christ, we come to him. Amen. Let's go over to Romans chapter 10 for a minute. Romans 10, and we'll start verse 6 here. Romans 10, 6. What is our message? Be reconciled to God. Our message is good news. And many times it's good. Sometimes we just need to proclaim Jesus loves you. Jesus has a purpose for you. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Jesus was raised from the dead. If you can believe him, you can be born again. You can have a new life in Christ Jesus. You can be reconciled or made right with God. That's really what we're looking at, amen? How many of you know Jesus has made man right with God, but every person must individually make that choice and make that decision. And really, that's our job. We're bringing them to a place of decision. What will you do with Jesus? Will you receive him or will you reject him? Now, even today, some people say, well, all the Jews are going to heaven. No, all the Jews aren't going to heaven. Only the Jews that receive Jesus. Just like all the Germans aren't going to heaven. But the ones that receive Jesus are. Amen. Not all the Canadians are going to heaven. Oh, Lord, help us. But those that receive Jesus are. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 10. Let's start in verse 6 here. Let's see. What does it say? But the righteousness, which is of faith, speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word of God. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, we're saying, can you believe in your heart? Amen. Can you believe in your heart? I'm telling you, Jesus died for you. He paid the price so that you can know God. And if you could believe that in your heart, and we can say with our mouth, confession just means to agree with God, to say with our mouth, I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. I believe that. The Bible says you shall be saved. This is our message. This is the truth. Yes, we've got some news. Yes, we have all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Right? Romans 3:23. But verse 24 says there's redemption, right? Amen. Let me look at that, Rick. Let's read 3:24 for a moment. 3:23 and 3:24. You know, there's a lot of ways to lead people to Jesus. This is a good way here through Romans. But he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 23. But what? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, we've fallen short, but we can be justified or made righteous freely. What? By the grace of God. Because his unmerited favor, right? His decision, the grace of God through the redemption. In other words, he bought us back. He paid the price that is in Christ Jesus. You and I, we didn't have much to do with that. The world didn't have much to do with that. God sent his one and only Son so that we could be redeemed or purchased back to him. We were of a fallen race, and we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus, and this is our message. Amen. And then, of course, Romans 6:23. Many of you know that scripture, right? See, we're just going through Romans here right now. 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? Sometimes we just need to proclaim the gospel. We don't have to explain everything to everybody. You don't have to have every answer. But the Bible says that the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. And sometimes when we just share simply, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. Jesus came. The Bible said that God so loved you. John, God so loved you, or whoever we're talking to, Joe Public, hallelujah, Mary Wallpaper, whatever it is, Mary, God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the Bible says that all have sinned. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned and fallen short of Jesus, who is God's glory. There's a wage to sin, and it is eternal separation from God. But he said what? There is also a gift. The wages of sin of death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says over here in Romans chapter 10 that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he, what are we going to believe? That he died on that cross in our place, right? It is the word of reconciliation is right here. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and will believe in your heart that God raise Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Because he says, for with the heart, just with your heart, you can believe. Amen. And that's something that God grants. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is what? The gift of God. It is a gift that God grants. When people hear the good news, faith comes to be saved. Amen. And sometimes it's just good to share the message, amen, announce it, declare it. Not necessarily that we have to try to explain everything. How many know that the Word of God is full of power? It's sharper than a sword. Our job is to, what? Declare it. God's job is to do the converting. See, we do the sharing. We share with people, and God begins to work, and he does the converting of hearts. Amen. We have to have the right heart. Jesus died for us, was raised from the dead. He's coming again. And we don't have to say to people, it's not a good idea. Hey, you sinner, you're going on your way to hell. Now, there may be a place for that in certain things. But, you know, most people that I've found already know it. When I started talking to them about Jesus, maybe they're there and they're smoking their cigarette or they're drinking a beer, you know, and they put it behind them, you know. They're already feeling what? Condemnation of the enemy. They're already feeling conviction of the Spirit of God. I didn't have to tell them. I didn't tell them anything. I didn't say one thing about them drinking or smoking or anything. And yet, sometimes, I've had it happen many times. They put their little beer bottle behind them or their cigarette, you know, was kind of, you know. Maybe we shouldn't say that in front of him, you know. Watch those words, you know. But the whole point is you haven't said a word other than the truth, because God's not condemning them for it. He said, I'm not imputing trespasses to you. God's not imputing your trespasses. He wants you to. The only thing that really separates us from God is the refusal to believe that Jesus paid the price for the sin. That is what we're trying to get and bring people to a decision. Amen. That is the good news. So we want to have the right message. And we also want to be sure that we have the right attitude. That's the other thing. How many know? Well, I'll tell you what, you can get saved and you'll just be as happy as me. I don't want whatever it is you're afflicted with. I'm not interested, sight unseen. You know? And there is something else that really helps us when we preach the gospel. It's called a breath mint. There's nothing worse than somebody standing up. You know, well, you know, Jesus loves you. You know, and they say, oh, man, thank God. You know, and they're just trying to get away from you. You know, it's okay. I mean, you can chew gum or have a breath mint, but, you know, don't chew too much. It's kind of distracting. Hallelujah. But just get you a little breath mint. It's wonderful. Love will deal with the heart in the person. And the fear in their heart. The love of God. God's love. We preach in love. What separates God from man? Sin. What sin? The rejection of Jesus Christ. That's all. That's the only thing that really separates man. What is the difference between us and someone else? Jesus in our heart. Amen. Our faith in Him. And love will deal with the heart in the person. And the fear in their heart when we preach what? In love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus became sin for us, the Bible says. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus became sin for us that we might be made, what? The righteousness of God in Christ. We are made righteous, what? By the confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We become right with God. That's the whole key. The key is not trying to get somebody to change their behavior right now. The key is to get them what? What are we doing? We're just saying, if you can believe that Jesus died in your place, that God raised him from the dead, and if you can believe that in your heart and say it what? With our mouth or with our life, you know, in some way, confess him as Lord, you shall be saved. We preach Jesus crucified, risen from the dead, and develop what? A love and the fruit to declare Jesus what? In love, and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to let love flow. We're bringing them to a decision. And we want the love of God. And to let that be our character and that be our what? Motivation. Remember the first, one of the first scriptures we said there, the reason I backed up to 14. He says the love of God, it is the love of Christ that compels us. It constrains us. It compels us. It drives us. Why? Because we see people's need for Jesus. They are what? Valuable. We talked about last time. Value of a person. And now we want to make sure we have the right message. The message of what? Of love, not of condemnation. Not of you're a sinner, you're going to hell. Now it might come to that. If someone is just continually resistant, there may be someone else that God uses, or he may use you. But that's not our main message. Our message is, hey, we care about you. God loves you. He has a purpose for you. He will make you right through Jesus Christ if you will receive him, believe that he was raised from the dead, confess him as the Lord. Amen. And we can keep our life, you know, we want to keep our life, what? Above reproach, right? Above board. We want people to see, do the right thing when no one's looking, so that when they are looking, they'll see you. Because sometimes we think people aren't looking, but they're watching you. They're watching what you're doing. They're watching your action. They're watching your life. And a lot of times we don't realize it. What we're doing sometimes can, and saying, you know, we need to be what? Talking more and more about Jesus. And it'll become more of our life when we talk about him. I like to say, you know, well, we get to talking and eventually we bring it around to my favorite subject. His name is Jesus. Amen. We are to preach, Mark 16, preach, announce the gospel. That means good news, and to share that good news. That's what we're all about. And we have the right message that Jesus died, was buried, he rose again. Glory to God forever. How many are thankful that you've been born again? You've been saved. Amen. Sometimes we use those terms and we need to be careful with people. They don't always understand. Born again. Well, what do you mean born again? No, God will just receive you to himself. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. He has forgiven you. Come to God. Know him through Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's a lot of people, I believe, that want to be saved. How many know that? Amen. There's people, they want to be saved. They've just never really heard the good news. Sometimes they've heard a piece of it. Sometimes they've heard a little bit here, a little bit there, but they never really got the puzzle together. Hallelujah. But if we'll just share, simply share Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is our message. Yes, we're separated from God through sin, but Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty for the wages of sin, which is what? Death, or really separation from God. You know, eternal death is what Jesus is really talking about, what Paul was talking about. A death that's forever. You're never able to get back to God. You know, and so it's important, I think, when we think about the message and to think about people around us. Do we really believe it? Are we really believing? I'm an ambassador. God has empowered me. Amen. Next week, we might talk about it a little bit. He's anointed you. Amen. You have a power in you. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Let's declare it. Let's share it. Everybody say it with me. Sharing is caring. Amen. I'm going to share Jesus. Amen. Say it. I'm going to share Jesus. There's someone I can reach. Amen. Praise God.